mix, what I like, what I like, what I like.
What's up, world? Welcome to another edition of I Mix What I Like. imixwhatilike.org and at I Mix What I Like for all your relevant social media. Again, I'm Jared Ball. So I'm driving down the road the other day, checking out the new J Electronica album with my oldest in the car. And as soon as I heard it, I said, "Oh, shit, the synagogue of Satan." And my oldest was like, "Daddy, what is going, what does that mean?" And in my attempt to feebly break down all of the context behind the phrase and struggling, I realized that one of the problems that we have with this is that so much of this conversation only takes place privately, in isolation. And when it comes above the surface into the public, it takes place in the worst of contexts. Commercial hip hop followed up by commercial rap radio. And so my daughter says, "Daddy, grandma's a Jew. Unc and auntie, even though we don't see them much, we love them and they're in the Nation of Islam. Should we be offended for grandma?" Then I get back to the crib and I check online and I look around a little bit and I see that controversy around the phrase has already popped off and J Electronica has already engaged longtime popular Hot 97 commercial radio New York hip hop head and radio host Peter Rosenberg. When I saw the two going at each other online, I tweeted at both of them and said, "Can I please, as the Drake of radio, host this discussion and the debate between the two of them?" Unfortunately, I'm not famous enough, so this little short podcast where I'm going to quickly outline what I would have said to each of them if given the chance will have to suffice. First, we got to start with where Dr. John Henrik Clark once started and point out that for the most part, open discussion in terms of this long going beef and struggle between black people and Jews is never discussed openly and honestly. Now, just to quickly back up, the most recent version of this ongoing struggle and back and forth is apparently a May 27th, 2018 speech by Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he refers to the Satanic Jew and the Synagogue of Satan. This, of course, is used by the Anti-Defamation League and other conservative Jewish organizations as an excuse to make claims of rising anti-Semitism, which of course turns up and raises money among their base. Minister Farrakhan can use these references or attacks against Jews as a way to reclaim a certain radical space and fundraising capability among his base, which, as a quick aside, is really the only thing reason I think he continues to bring these references from time to time, among many other things that he says and many other things that he says that are of value. But I think it's these kinds of comments that are best used to recenter himself among his base. And why we also don't see the same kind of popular commitment among the minister or the Nation of Islam for, overt or aggressive or sustained criticism of imperialism, capitalism, the specifics of the state as opposed to Jews within the state and Jews historically, and why so much of the emphasis of their work is on Jews and their role in the enslavement of Africans in this country. As opposed to, in other words, the multi-volume work of the secret relationship between blacks and Jews is a Nation of Islam product that focuses on Jews' complicitness in black suffering, which isn't necessarily historically inaccurate as it is historically narrow in its focus, which was ever my only complaint with it. I've read it, I've researched the citations, the multiple volumes I've read carefully over the years, researched some of the citations and references. It's not that the work is inaccurate in what it unearths. It's that I think it's where that work, I think, does come open for some criticism is the sole and specific focus on Jews who were complicit in those horrors, as opposed to Jews who would have been involved in any other, kinds of endeavors, even in those who were, for instance, supportive of the armed insurrection against slavery of John Brown. But this is an important, anyway, my point here isn't to defend or make the case against Jews, it's try to just quickly provide some context for this most recent dust up. So when I heard the reference on Electronica's new album, I knew it was gonna cause another stir.
I came to bang with the scholars, and I bet you a Rothschild I get a bang for my dollar. The synagogue of Satan want me to hang by my collar, but all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I put on for my...
And I knew some form of the exchange that I've seen between Rosenberg and Electronica would take place. Of course, we know that the reference is often attributed to the New Testament and Revelations, where in the King James Version, I think it's Revelations 3:9, you read, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." And this has been taken by a lot of people for a long time and used against European Jews as evidence that European Jews are not the true Jews, are not the Hebrews of the Bible, and are therefore illegitimate in claiming Judaism and so on and so forth. And look, while there's a lot I would like to say about this and to get into about this, this is not the time for this. This isn't the particular podcast for that discussion. Although I would like to say very quickly that among what would be interesting as support for that argument is the final work of Sigmund Freud himself, Moses or Monotheism, in which he writes an argument, a psychoanalytic exploration into what will happen to European Jews once they find what would happen to them psychologically once they find out that Moses, their founding savior, so to speak, was in fact not a Jew but an Egyptian or an African, and that Judaism itself should not be, as he was pointing out to Hitler as he was writing this fleeing the Nazis, should not be Judaism, if it is a problem for Hitler, should not be blamed on European Jews, but in fact should be blamed on Africa because it's an African religion. So in fact, if in fact you go back to the earliest times of the Bible and start to look at all the work of African scholars and historians and the role of Kemet and the relationship of the philosophies of Kemet to the teachings you find out in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, then you have another interesting way to end up coming back to make and defend that same point. However, it's largely irrelevant in this exchange, which is why I again think that Dr. Clark used to say that there's never any honesty in all these discussions. Another of Clark's colleagues, John Oliver Killens, would somewhat put it differently in talking about the United States, but I think it applies here. And I think that one of the cavernous gaps between Black people and Jews and this that continues to play out is that for European Jews, the United States and Western Empire and Western imperialism, even despite its pogroms and Holocausts against Jews by many European nations for thousands of years, is still what European Jews aspire to. So for Jews, even after all of that, the United States, Westernism, Europeanism, is for them a salvation, whereas for Africans and Black people, it remains a center and source of constant and continuing enslavement. But again, that's just all basic context that I've even taken too long to try to quickly develop, and there's still so much left unsaid, but is at least some of what I would want to bring into a discussion with Jay Electronica and Peter Rosenberg were I given a chance. But specifically, if I was in this conversation, on the one hand, I would want to turn to Brother Electronica and say, first of all, you know, thanks for finally dropping a dope album. But then I would also want to say, first of all, you know, a line like that is going to be considered some hostile shit. It is some hostile shit. So why would you then be upset that someone, a figure particularly like a Peter Rosenberg, would step out there and express some discomfort with that lyric? And it wasn't like he didn't shut down the whole album. He expressed his fandom for you in the album. He just said that line made him uncomfortable, and of course it would. But it's also equally odd or paradoxical given, you know, even when I just think about where the line comes from in Revelations, which is of course being written in the context of New Testament Gentiles trying to recreate first and originally an African deity, but in this sense, a Jew into a Gentile savior of Gentiles. And as much as, even if you are following the Minister Farrakhan line, that Black people are the chosen people and the lost tribe and all that is being referenced in these books. I find that to be remarkable, and as equally, I look at that as with as much cynicism as I do at claims by Jews that Jews are somehow chosen or specific or special in the eyes of a god in comparison to the rest of the planet. And then when you call out Rosenberg and suggest that you'd be willing to discuss this in an open forum with him or anybody were that ever offered, that's not genuine either. I mean, we know that, and maybe that's not even your place to do it. I mean, it's not on you to solve the relationship between black people and Jews or to even defend yourself for having a criticism of Jews if that's in fact how you feel. But to put it out there like you'd be willing to do that or that could have been a possibility is, I think, kind of silly also. If you wanted to have a conversation publicly with Jews about Jews and their relationship to black people, you would have done that a long time ago, maybe even while you were shacking up with the queen Jew, the Rothschild. I mean, so that was the other thing I was thinking about. It's like, this is coming from a brother who had a relationship with, of all people, a Rothschild, who would now have is making reference to that in the verse, saying that that's one of the reasons why he'd have a problem with the synagogue of Satan. But she would be from that same synagogue if, in fact, you believe in all that. So anyway, I just found out that to be quite interesting and something I would have wanted to raise were I given a chance. And to my man Rosenberg. So on the one hand, I get it. You were offended. You have a right to say you were offended, and all that's good. But in your defense of your being offended with Ebro and them on Hot 97, it raises a lot of contradictions for me there as well. First of all, you did that on Hot 97, which has been a hotbed for producing some of the most anti-black or promoting some of the most anti-black cultural expression and music and promotional campaigns that we've ever seen in this country. So your relationship with that station and commercial media in general causes me many concerns when I start hearing you wanting to raise concerns or criticism of electronica. You mentioned this issue again, of the many mythologies raised in this. Rosenberg, you mentioned this mythology of Jews being allies to black people in this struggle. In response to not wanting the select amount of Jews involved in slavery or conservative politics in this country to be highlighted. Well, to me, again, that's part of the mythology in all of these conversations. There have been Jews involved in every aspect of every single thing that has gone on in terms of this country's development, in terms of enslavement, in terms of civil, human, and labor rights struggles in this country. And Jews have been on every side of this, have been on every side of the issue. Jews have been at the highest levels of the Confederacy. Jews have been involved in trafficking and in maintaining enslaved Africans all throughout the American and Western Hemisphere. Jews have also been involved in movements to free enslaved Africans, have been involved in the most radical leftist progressive movements in defense of black civil and human rights struggles. David Gilbert is a prominent Jew and political prisoner still incarcerated to this day for his defense of the black liberation struggle. But to point out to make this claim that Jews more than any other group have been an ally to black people is an old trope and myth that I think many black people, myself included, find offensive, especially given the condition black people suffer to this day. Do you really want credit for having been an ally in supporting a society or levels of movements that would have filtered out or petered out, leaving black people in this current state, in this current condition? I mean, for every Goodwin and Schwerner that died in the civil rights movement, we could point out a Judah Benjamin or a David Gilbert or rather a Dan Gilbert. Or rather, for every David Gilbert, there's a Dan Gilbert. So, I mean, those kinds of arguments, I think, lose a lot of weight. And then if we're also honest, collectively as a group, Jews are no different than any other in terms of their total lack of consideration or concern for black people. So there has been no Jewish national collective effort to free or to liberate black people. Similarly, the most organized state formation or political formation of Jews, the State of Israel, cannot at all be said to be a progressive or positive influence on the conditions of black people here or African people around the world, and quite the opposite. And then there was another point you raised, Peter Rosenberg, that I think is very interesting and somewhat complicated and nuanced, but also equally troubling. This idea that you quite rightly say that you wouldn't want to be involved. You were accused of wanting to speak out on this, but not speaking out on all the black use of the N-word. And you said quite rightly that as a Jew and a white man, you have no right to speak on what black people, how black people reference themselves. But the reality is that because of the political reality in the United States, which forced Jews, it's a Gentile WASP elite political establishment forcing a relegation of Jews to cultural industries that put Jews in at these nexus points, meeting black people in terms of entertainment. So it's not some, you know, broader sort of, you know, nefarious Jewish conspiracy as is often reduced to. It's because WASP didn't allow Jews to enter any other fields. And this is the same way why Jews, you know, have overrepresentation in media and in banking. And law per se, because these were the fields that Gentiles left open to Jews and were almost forcing Jews to enter. And going back historically, the reason Jews are involved so much with money is because Jews couldn't become kings, couldn't become the waspish monarchy. And as mercantilism, capitalism evolved, this is what was left for Jews to move on. But all these histories are left out of these discussions. All the nuanced and complicated histories are left out in favor of conspiracy theory, or really ignorant. And I don't even mean to say conspiracy theory, because I actually enjoy and support a lot of what is dismissed as conspiracies, but empty, sophomoric, unstudied, unresearched claims is what they really are, that allow for easy name-calling, people picking on other people without having to do heavy lifting in intellectual work, or really the political organizing and movement building that would get rid of all these problems. But this idea, though, that black people have naturally, without imposition, chosen consciously and with organized effort to self-refer as the N-word is misleading. And to deny the influence of business, corporate commercialism, and media and entertainment as involving itself in this process is disingenuous. So when you say, Rosenberg, that you have no say in how black people self-refer, that's not entirely true. To the extent that Jews have had influence over the media and over recording and music and art, Jews have had an influence over the outcome of the final product of blackness. Editorial control over what kinds of songs and music and what kind of film and television portrayals are offered of black people. And the N-word, quite frankly, has been more welcomed than self-references by black people as Africans, as new Africans, as revolutionaries, as anti-capitalists, as anti-imperialists, as anti-Zionists. None of those labels would have been supported and allowed to thrive, and yet all of those labels are used within the black community. So I'm not saying that the N-word isn't used, and I'm not saying that the N-word doesn't have some, I don't know, more apolitical, easy use within the community, but its rise from esoteric use to exoteric popularity has a lot to do with Jewish commercial involvement in how black people are able to self-refer. So it's not to say that Jews made black people call themselves nigger, but it is also to say that Jews cannot say that to the extent that Jews have been involved in these industries, that they have had no influence over the final popular expression that black people and others make. And whereas Jews who self-refer as all kinds of derogatory ways would have never been allowed to promote themselves in this way, black people have. So that's also disingenuous. Really, the only real point I would want to make in all this, because on some level I find it to be somewhat humorous, or I do find humor in all of this, is that the reality is that these very serious conversations that deserve more in-depth care and exploration than I'm certainly even given in this podcast are never given the room to breathe. Everyone's caught up in their own politics, and their own mythologies, and their own interests. And to the extent that white Jews or European descended Jews have wanted to assimilate into the United States as whites, they have done so to the extent that they have done so to the detriment of their true unity with black and other communities. Because to be white, to be American, to be Eurocentric, to be European descended in this whiteness context is to be anti-black. So I'll wrap up with where I started, that is with Dr. John Henrik Clark, that we don't have honest discussions when these issues are brought up. And that, as I told my daughter when I concluded where my bias was, that also, like Dr. Clark, black people don't owe apologies to anyone. So we may not agree with or be comfortable with, or we may find it inelegant that Jay Electronica said what he said. But just like I think it's too easy for Minister Farrakhan to pick out and call out Jews to score points with his audience, it's way too easy for Jews to call out black rappers or black people in general for so-called anti-Semitic positions. When black people have no history of anti-Semitism, black people have not been engaged in any of the atrocities against any groups, the least of which Jews. And black people today have no authority or power even over their own lives or cultural expression in such a way that these kinds of conversations can be considered to be taking place in a balance, in any kind of balanced form. The anti-Semitism that Rosenberg said he fears, that Jews fear in this country and around the world, it's not black people that are coming after Jews. Whereas the apparatus, the state apparatus, the legal apparatus, the media entertainment apparatus, the financial apparatus that continues to assault and exploit black people does involve and enjoy the support of individual Jews and all white, non-radical establishment folks in this country and abroad who choose to support it, benefit from it, and make no adjustments, no radical adjustments to it.
I mix what I like, what I like, what I like, what I like, what I like.